Chapter 70. Aptly named after one of history's most famed travelers, the Marco Polo International Airport is located 4 miles north of St. Mark's Square on the waters of the Laguna Veneta. Because of the luxuries of private air travel, Elizabeth Sinski had deplaned only 10 minutes earlier and was already skimming across the lagoon in a futuristic black tender, a Dubois SR-52 Blackbird, which had been sent by the stranger who had phoned earlier.
The provost.
For Sinski, after being immobilized in the back of the van all day, the open air of the ocean felt invigorating. She turned her face to the salty wind and let her silver hair stream out behind her. Nearly 2 hours had passed since her last injection, and she was finally feeling alert. For the first time since last night, Elizabeth Sinski was herself. Agent Bruder was seated beside her, along with his team of men. None of them said a word. If they had concerns about this unusual rendezvous, they knew their thoughts were irrelevant. The decision was not theirs to make. As the tender raced on, a large island loomed up to them on the right, its shoreline dotted with squat brick buildings and smokestacks. Murano, Elizabeth realized, recognizing the illustrious glassblowing factories.
I can't believe I'm back,
she thought, enduring a sharp pang of sadness.
Full circle.
Years ago, while in med school, she had come to Venice with her fiancé and stopped to visit the Murano Glass Museum. There, her fiancé had spied a beautiful hand-blown mobile, and innocently commented that he wanted to hang one just like it someday in their baby's nursery. Overcome with guilt for having kept a painful secret far too long, Elizabeth finally leveled with him about her childhood asthma and the tragic glucocorticoid treatments that had destroyed her reproductive system. Whether it had been her dishonesty or her infertility that turned the young man's heart to stone, Elizabeth would never know. But 1 week later, she left Venice without her engagement ring. Her only memento of the heartbreaking trip had been a lapis lazuli amulet. The rod of Asclepius was a fitting symbol of medicine, bitter medicine in this case, but she had worn it every day since.
My precious amulet, she thought, a parting gift from the man who wanted me to bear his children.
Nowadays, the Venetian islands carried no romance for her at all. Their isolated villages sparking thoughts not of love, but of the quarantine colonies that had once been established on them in an effort to curb the Black Death. As the Blackbird tender raced on past Isola San Pietro, Elizabeth realized they were homing in on a massive gray yacht, which seemed to be anchored in a deep channel awaiting their arrival. The gunmetal gray ship looked like something out of the U.S. military's stealth program. The name emblazoned across the back offered no clue as to what kind of ship it might be.
The Mandatium?
The ship loomed larger and larger, and soon Sinski could see a lone figure on the rear deck. A small, solitary man, deeply tanned, watching them through binoculars. As the tender arrived at the Mandatium's expansive rear docking platform, the man descended the stairs to greet them.
Dr. Sinski, welcome aboard.
The sun-drenched man politely shook her hand, his palms soft and smooth, hardly the hands of a boatman.
I appreciate your coming. Follow me, please.
As the group ascended several decks, Sinski caught fleeting glimpses of what looked like busy cubicle farms. This strange ship was actually packed with people, but none were relaxing. They were all working.
Working on what?
As they continued climbing, Sinski could hear the ship's massive engines power up, churning a deep wake as the yacht began moving again.
Where are we going?
She wondered, alarmed.
I'd like to speak to Dr. Sinski, alone, the man said to the soldiers, pausing to glance at Sinski.